and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Remember what I told you just a few minutes ago about Christmas time? Part of the biggest problem with the stress of Christmas time is the fear. Are they going to like the gift? Am I going to have enough money to buy a gift? Fear should not enter in at Christmas time, because it's better to give than receive. And we should be joyful receivers as much as we are givers. But he said, fear not. For behold, I bring you good. Everybody say good. Tidings of great joy, which shall to be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, what? A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We're going to ask the Lord to move upon this service here today. If you would bear with me just for a little while as I preach on this topic. 'Twas the night before Christmas. 'Twas the night before Christmas. Dear Lord, we love you and we thank you for one more chance to be here today. We thank you for our friends and our guests and family that's all gathered here today to enjoy your presence one more time. We ask you today, God, to help me as a pastor and as a minister to put something in their mind and their spirit and their heart, to help them to understand the real gift of what it's all about, and the gift is you. God, I ask you to help me to do a good job for you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I cannot quote the entire nursery rhyme or poem, if you will, but most of you remember a nursery rhyme that went a little bit like this. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. And it goes through, and some of you could probably continue on through the rest of that poem. But Christmas has become very commercialized, and there's nothing wrong with them trying to sell their product in a capitalist society. I don't say there's nothing wrong with that. But we have quickly changed around from what Christmas was really intended to be, to become something that it's not. Hence is why we have some of the issues we have in America today. Now, I'm not begrudging of anyone that's in the hustle and bustle and enjoys the spirit. And in fact, my brother is one of those that he is counting down the days to Christmas. The minute Christmas is over, he's already counting down how many hours and how many days it is until the next Christmas. He absolutely loves Christmas. I've never seen anybody that enjoys Christmas any more than my brother. It is his favorite time of the year. If he could, and if his wife, excuse me, would let him, he would literally give away every penny he's got to buy gifts for people and worry about the bills some other day. He loves Christmas. And that's a wonderful thing, but there is a reality that too you have to keep things in balance. Now, I will say as a pastor, now notice this, I'm saying this as pastor. I don't believe it's the will of God that you go out and you charge up all of your money where you can't pay your bills and go spend a bunch of money on everything just so you can make them feel that you did them something good. I don't believe that's the will of God, to put yourself in debt to do things that you couldn't afford to do. There are some things that are principles that are God principles that you don't step out from. I believe if you can't afford it, that is just as meaningful to put your hard-earned labor into baking some cookies and putting a nice bow and a nice ribbon on it and going to mom and dad, and mom and dad will respect you more than you ever believed mom and dad would respect you, and say, you know what? Funds are tight, and I hope you understand, but I made these with my very own hands this morning, and I want to give you something from my heart rather than something that I charge to give you that you would really not understand anyway, but I want you to know I love you. And I can guarantee you there's not a mama or daddy in this country that wouldn't understand that. And you don't have to hang your head or be disappointed or feel sad or feel like everybody has gotten ahead of you because you did what was right. Now, I also believe if you do have money and you have families and friends in your life that have showed you kindness and they've been there, and it is a good thing to go down and buy them something special that you know that they would like and give them a little gift at Christmas time and tell them you love them. I don't normally have Christmas boxes or presents at the base of the pulpit, obviously. That is a bit carnal. But for today's service, I did put these up here just as an illustration today. Thank you to Sister Krissa and my beautiful wife for decorating these so beautiful for us today. But we have a society that's become revolvent around things. We are a very thing-oriented society. We like our toys. We like stuff. I don't know how many of you, after Christmas, have the same issues that we have had with our children after Christmas. We will go to my mother's and father's, or we'll go to Tennessee to be with her mother and father. And the biggest challenge of the day is getting everything back in the car to haul back home, and then finding some place to put it when you get there, because they have more toys than they could possibly ever play with. And finally, you come to the point of, please, Grandma and Grandpa, don't buy any more toys. Even just yesterday, we went to a fine little lady's first birthday party. And what a great time. My wife and I, we were commenting on the way home how cute that little girl was, at just a little child. And in that little, what do they call them, the food chair for babies, a high chair, there you go, a food chair for babies, that's a bad chair, a high chair, sitting in that high chair, and she had cake from one side of her face to the other, and me and my wife walked over, and she seen us, and she went, she was just having a grand old time. But one of the things she said, we've got multiples of several different things, and that's a very common thing. When everybody brings a gift, you don't know who bought what, and they have so many things and so many gifts. She says, well, I'll put one at every house. She can play with them wherever she goes. But that is our society today. We have so much stuff. We have so many things. And that poor little one-year-old child isn't going to have a clue what some of those things even are. Just because we are such a blessed people. We're a blessed society. Here in America, we have so much to be thankful for, and I hope we do understand and respect that. But in all of the things that we have, I hope we understand the real meaning of the seasons. We're talking about something that was the apex of all time. There was something that was happening at the night before Christmas that most people have no comprehension was really going on. There was a shepherds tending their flock in the night. They were watching over their sheep. Remember, these were shepherds. They were trained to be shepherds. The flocks that they had meant everything. These were a heirloom from their parents that they were called and raised watching these sheep be born, and they were called to be shepherds. So they everything in their world revolved around those sheep. But there came a night that the angel appeared unto the shepherds, and they said, fear not, don't be afraid. That tells me there was something in the heavens that was happening that must have been majestic. They must have looked into the heavens and said, what is this? What is going on? There is something in the atmosphere that is not just a normal night. But angel appeared to them. Now, I don't know about you. I went coon hunting last night. It was miserably hot out last night to be coon hunting. I don't know, unusual in December to say it's too hot to coon hunt in December. That is unbelievable. But sitting out there last night on the log looking out into the sky, I must admit, had the stars appeared and a bright light shone and the sky began to split and the angel speaks down and begins to dance, if you will, in front of you and say, fear not. I must admit, even as a pastor, it would have startled me. And these shepherds had to have been literally scared to death. But notice what the angel said, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of joy, because there's going to be a Savior. And he said, not just any Savior, but a Savior to all people. From not just you, not just those in this generation, not just to the Jews, not just to the Gentiles, not just to the Samaritans, but he came to all people. There is something that I think that we as a people of America must understand. We must love everyone. And I thank the Lord that as a society we have become much more oriented to recognize that you don't judge people by their color. You don't judge people by their character. You don't judge people by the things that they go or where they come from or their heritage or their offspring or where they came from or nationality. But we must understand God loves every single person in this world. And it's not His will that any should perish, but the Bible says, but that all should come to repentance. But I want you to notice something in particular about those shepherds. Those shepherds, when they saw that, and they began to go and seek this Savior and find where He was. And the Bible says there was a star that began to affix above the place that He was at. And they began to look for Him. And then the patriarchs, if you will, the wise men began to come from the other direction. Notice, God did not just come for the ones coming from the kingdom. He also came for those that were in the shepherd, tending the flocks, the ones that were dirty. They were the ones that were the outcasts. Nobody wanted the shepherds in their town because the shepherds didn't have a place to take a bath. The shepherds didn't have any place to find to keep themselves clean. They stunk like sheep. Every day, nobody really wanted the shepherds around, but He didn't come just for the king and the wise men, but He also came for the shepherd. And notice He appeared not just to the wise men, but He also appeared to the shepherds. God is not looking or a respecter of any particular person. I believe we should love everyone the same as He loved us. And we should not judge them before we've ever had a chance to know them. Because that's what Jesus came to do. I want you to notice one other thing. The shepherds in their stinky world, if you will, wandering the hills. The Bible said they left their flocks to find the Savior. I contend when you really come in contact with Jesus Christ, family doesn't matter. Now, don't get me wrong, family matters. But when it comes to you in a relationship with Him, opinions don't matter. Let me put it that way. Opinions don't matter. Location doesn't matter. Jobs don't matter. Cities don't matter. Everything becomes very small when you really come in contact with a true Savior. Here's the reason. You don't need a Savior unless you're lost. The hardest part is for us to recognize that we need a Savior. Those that find a Savior, Brother Frazier, are those that are looking for a Savior. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Very simply this. A lot of people don't find a Savior because they haven't hit the bottom yet. They've still got a little jingle in their pocket. They got a place to lay their head down. Everything's okay. But you let us hit the bottom. You let us hit a place where we can't sleep at night. When we lay on our pillow and we don't know where to turn, where we're going to get the money for the next day. We're laying there wondering, how did I get here? And how in the world am I ever going to get that causes a man or lady in their mind, to begin to look for a Savior. You know how those shepherds were able to find the Savior? Is they followed the star. They had to get up from the place that they were at leave their surrounding world that they were in and go to a place where God was leading them to. And here's the thing. I don't ever read where the shepherds went back and redeemed their flocks. They went to him and left their sheep. Whether they did or not, I can't say biblically for sure. But we must understand, to really have a contact with the Savior, we must be willing to forsake everything and follow him. Now understand, that's not easy to do for any of us. We all have our own traditions. We all have our own ways. We all have our own thoughts. We all have our own things that we look at in life. We all have our own little patterns in our days. And we think our patterns will always be that way. This is the way I am. This is who I am. But I personally believe every single individual in the world, at some point, Brother Payne, will come into a place where they need a Savior. Not that the Savior just happened to be there as they strolled by one day, but they recognized, I can't make it without you. You see, there was more happening on that night before Christmas than children snuggled up in their bed, counting down the minutes and moments till they could jump out of bed and run downstairs and jump on their mom and dad's bed. Anybody else do this? They were kids. Jump on their mom or dad's bed. Wake them up and say, is it time to go down and open our gifts? No. But I believe there was angels that had a full perception of what was about to take place. You see, I only read in the Bible that the angel Gabriel was only mentioned and sent two times. Just twice. And one of them was this night. It was the night of all nights. It was the moment that everything in eternity had waited for. Man had been created and man had went his own way. Man had chosen his own destiny and God said, you know what, if that's the way you go, you can go that way. But it is not my will that any should perish. But he came to save everyone. And the only way man could be saved is if there was a supreme lamb that would shed his blood on Calvary. And it would only come through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only way that there could be blood shed was that man, God, could become a man. And he had to have flesh. He had to have something that could feel pain. He had to have something that could hang on a cross between heaven and earth. And that blood could drip as they pierced his side, as they hammered the nails in. I personally believe the angels knew what was about to take place. Why else would that angel say, today is a good day? I bring you tidings of great joy because a Savior has come to this world. I believe there was a hustle and a bustle in the heavenly atmospheres. They probably said, you know what's about to take place. We've been waiting for this moment. I wonder if I might muse in Brent's imagination for a moment, as if the angel that had stood there with the sword, stopping them from entering the garden ever again, said, you know what? I remember the day they were kicked out of this place. But now, sin is going to be remitted once and for all. Could it be that Christmas is much more than boxes
toys. And doilies. And maybe a popcorn on a string. Maybe Christmas lights shining on a house that we all like to drive up and down the streets and say, "Wow, isn't that beautiful?" I can tell you something that's much more beautiful. That is a God that said, "You know what? This is the moment that I'm going to change from being a majestic thing in some distant future, but I'm going to become real. I'm going to become tangible. I'm going to become flesh. I'm going to become something, Brother Payne, that they can actually touch. And not only touch, but kill. Because I'm going to die for them." And here's the beautiful thing. The angels probably knew that. Because did he not say, "If I choose to, the angels could rescue me. But I don't choose to. I freely give myself away." There are some things that, in the mixture of giving, laughter, and love. Just yesterday, I pulled up on my phone. I was scrolling through some news stuff, and there was a particular thing of a gentleman. I think he's in California, and it was one of those pick-me-up stories that I wanted to read about. And it said Christmas joy or whatever. And I began to pull up the story and began to look at what was going on. And there's a gentleman in I think it was California, but he was a multimillionaire, and he gives away $100,000 every year. He has a police escort because they literally have $100,000 of $100 bills. And he puts on an elf hat, and he takes the police officers with them, and they put on elf hats, and they pick a store, just any store. They don't know who's going to be in the store. They don't know what's going to be going on in the store. But the police cars all pull up to the store, and they all walk into the store. And he began to just walk through the store, handing out $100 bills, and said, "Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas." My wife and I began to watch as he was doing this. Tears began to come to our face because he walked up to one lady. And I don't want to be disrespectful, but she was a colored lady, and he had no prejudice in it. He walked up, and the first one he walked up to was a colored lady, and he says, "Here's you $100 bill, Merry Christmas." And she started crying, and she said, it was a charity organization. I don't remember which one it was, but they take in children at Christmas time. And she started crying, and she said, "With this $100 bill, I can add 12 more kids this Christmas season." And then he started crying. He says, "Well, here's 200 more. Add some more kids." And he says, "I got to get away from you. I'm going to be out of money." He walked to another lady. He handed her a $100 bill. She started crying. And she said, "I just got out of chemo treatments. I have stage 4 breast cancer." She said, "I just came from radiation or chemo, whatever it was." And she said, "You couldn't have made my day get a little better, any better way than the hug you just gave me." As he handed her a $100 bill, tears were streaming down her face. She said, "In all the bad that's going on around the world, to think that there are people that are going around spreading a little joy and goodness of giving something away." You see, to him it was $100 bills. But I contend that's not the case at all. You see, with every $100 bill that he gave away, they didn't just miraculously fall off of a tree into a millionaire's hand. He worked to build a business, to build that wealth, probably 16, 18 hours a day, working the sweat of his brow to build a business. And now he was the reaping the joys, because it wasn't just a $100 bill. That was probably an hour of labor he'd put in. He says, I'm going to take that hour and I'm going to give it to you. Because he said, I've been blessed and this is my choice to give back to you. So you say, preacher, what are you trying to say today? I don't know what your Christmas tradition is, but every year, is it okay if I be a little personal today? Every year, we gather our children by the fireplace in our living room with her mom and dad if they're here, or if we're at their house, we always spend Christmas morning with her mother and father. We have breakfast. And then Grandpa and myself call all the family in and we sit down. And usually, I would read it when the children were little, and I would read from the Bible the real Christmas story. Not elves and reindeers, Santa Claus, all the stuff that we make Christmas out to be. We sit down in our pajamas as a family. And we read the Christmas story. But you know, one of the best things that I ever got to do was when the children got a little older, and now they fuss over who gets to read the Christmas story. Because it's just as much a part of Christmas. And I contend it's the real part of Christmas. It's what God did for us. The ultimate gift he gave was the gift of life. Because the Bible says, in our sin, we are destined for death. But because of his grace, the Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin. Us. If he knew no sin, may I ask us today, where did that sin come from? It came from me. And it came from you. And he said, I'm going to walk perfect, but there's going to be a day that I'm going to take the weight of every broken home, every person sitting in jail, every individual that's wandered home this night in a drunken stupor, and every individual that's put drugs in their body to alter their senses, every individual that stole something today that wasn't theirs, every individual that has all the filthy thoughts and lucre that you could ever have, every bad attitude, every rotten, nasty thought. And he said, I'm going to wrap all that stuff onto my shoulders, and I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to carry it up Calvary's hill. And I'm going to take that sin and I'm going to have it crucified with me in death. And I'm going to pay the ultimate price for their sins. You say, well, preacher, if God did that for me, that's wonderful. I can go on living the way I'm living. do what I want to do because he shed his blood for me. No, that's not it at all. He provided the sacrifice. But it still takes us calling out for a Savior. Until we recognize we need a Savior, we will continue to be unsaved. Until we recognize, God, the way I'm walking and the turns my life has taken, God, I don't seem to really be getting happier. It just seems to get more confusing and more complicated. And it seems like the further I go down this road, God, the deeper it gets and the harder it is and the heavier the load becomes on my life. And God, I may be sitting here today, or I may be laying on my pillow last night or tonight, wondering, how am I ever going to get away from this load? That's when God says, I think I hear something in the nighttime. I think I hear a call of someone. It's recognizing they need a Savior. And that's when the presence of God, and no doubt the very same Spirit that filled the heavenlies the night before Christmas, begins to swoop down. And it begins to reach into a hurting and a dying and a lost individual. And it begins to wrap His arms of mercy around. And it says, I thought I would never hear you say, I need you. But tonight you did, and here I am. And all it requires of you is for you to recognize where you're at and where you're going, and recognize that your life isn't working the way it's going, and for you to allow me to take the weights that you're carrying. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You see, there comes a day in repentance that you say, God, I can't do it on my own anymore. I need a Savior. That's when God says, I have a place that you can bury all that weight with me. You say, preacher, what is that? That's when you look towards Calvary. And the Bible says, in that blood was buried all of our sins. And that is why we walk to a watery grave of baptism. And we walk in and we don't just get wet, but we get buried. And the old man is buried with him in a watery grave. And the preacher doesn't just say, well, there you go. It's a wonderful day. Get up and go on about your business. But no, the preacher says, I now baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of all. We are buried. And from that day on, everything that began on the night before Christmas comes to fruition in your life. And the Bible said what once was broken, hurting, dark and black becomes white as snow. As we all stand. So I wonder here today, if you would allow me to rewrite the poem, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Anybody like poetry in here? I enjoy good poetry. I think it's really fun. Some people think we're cuckoo, those of us that enjoy poetry. Well, I'm sorry, I just have to be cuckoo. I like poetry. But maybe walk through this little poem together. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the earth, angels were rejoicing for a dear Savior's birth. The sin that had held man would soon be removed, and men would soon feast on heavenly food. Down from the clouds came the angels' cry. The Creator had come to earth to die. Blood would be shed on Calvary's cross, so men would not be eternally lost. So friend, on Christmas this year, don't be held in endless fear. For God was manifest in the flesh only to clean up our mess. Allow His blood to wash your sins away and live with Him in heaven some. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I hope today, whether you're a saint or a visitor or a guest or just a friend, I hope today you will recognize the real gift of this season was not just any child, but the angel said, "You shall call him Emmanuel," which is God with us. That wasn't just another piece of flesh laying in a manger, but that was a God that came to die for you. So today I want to ask us all, in this season, in this time of joy and celebration, if we could just remember what the real joy is about. So when there's hustle and bustle going on around us, and the Walmart line has gotten a little chaotic, I want you just to slow down and remember what it's all about. And maybe in this time of season you can give. Maybe there's someone in front of you that's not buying gifts, but they just need a little milk and maybe some cereal for their children. That maybe you slip $10 on the cash register and say, "Ma'am, I want that young lady to just have that. And don't tell her where it came from." I wonder if this season, in the midst of opening presents, if you might pull those children a little closer than you've ever pulled them and tell that little child, "Mom and Daddy loves you, but Jesus loves you even more. That's why we're able to do this today. As this is a representation of the real gift of God coming to die for you and I. And honey, there's going to come a day you're going to need a Savior. I want you to know where you can find Him. It's not at a bar. And it's not in drugs. It's not in alcohol. It's not in love. It's not in the things of this world. It's not in all of the hustle and bustle. It's not in money. It's not in jobs. It's not in the things that people think it is. But honey, let me tell you where you're going to really find a Savior. Because it all started at the night before Christmas. He came and He shed His blood on Calvary for you. And you might just tell that little child, when you've hit your last dollar and you don't know where to turn, if you'll turn to Him, He'll be there waiting for you. So today, I want to ask us to gather around this front as a corporate body. We're not going to do, if you want to come as kneel at this altar, that's okay. But I just want us to gather as families here together, just around the front. We're just going to pray a simple prayer together. No, I don't want to embarrass anybody. I'm not that kind of preacher. But I want us to gather in and grab somebody's hand next to you, a friend or brother or sister. And I wonder this year if we could pray a little blessing. It's all right, brethren. Can we grab someone's hand? Let's just connect with each other. We're a part of the body. I wonder if we could pray for our brothers and sisters that are here today, that God will help them recognize. I wonder if we could pray a blessing on their families. Pray for a hedge of protection about them over the next year. Pray for each of them that God would protect their children and their marriages and their homes and their families. Can we do that right now? Dear Lord, I'm asking you right now to reach down right now to every person under the sound of my voice that's here today. They may be blessed. They may have money. They may have things and cars and homes. And some of them may be questioning how they're going to get through next week. But you love them all the same. And God, I want you to impress on their mind and their spirit here today that money don't buy happiness. Only you do. You paid the ultimate price to bring us tidings of great joy, that we could have life and hope and peace and comfort. We may not have money, but we are rich above measure. God, I want you to reach down and bring strength to every one of these folks that have came out to be in church with us today. Wrap your arms of love around them this season and tell them how much you really care for them. And when they lay their head down on Christmas Eve night this year, it may be tears of joy, God, but I wonder if you could impress upon them what might have been happening that night. When we're fretting over whether we're going to have the ham done or the turkey cooked tomorrow, whether all the chocolates are going to be okay, if the kids are going to get in them, and the cookies before our Christmas dinner this year, God, I want you to walk through every bedroom of their children. I want you to walk through their home. And I want you to remind them, God, what Christmas is all about. Before gifts, before all of the other stuff, let them recognize the ultimate gift of a Savior. God, we thank you for meeting with us today. We thank you for doing what you did when we didn't deserve it. And God, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, and maybe they've just come to the realization that they need a Savior, I ask that you'd be that for them and much more. Let them see their need for baptism and the value of being filled with your wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Give them the strength and the courage and the faith, God, as you reach out to them and they recognize that need of a Savior. Give them the strength to step out in faith and say, "Preacher or pastor, I need to be baptized in Jesus' name because I need my old man to be washed away and I want to start a new life. I'm carrying too much burdens and I need to be free from these weights." Give them the strength to do that this year in Jesus' name. I wonder if we could give him some praise and some thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. We love you more than anything else in this world. I love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Whew. What a good service today. I want you to find